You don't mind my talking to you, frankly. He shook his head, smiling. Has she deserved that you should treat her like this? No. Have you any complaint to make against her? None. Then isn't it monstrous to leave her in this fashion after 17 years of married life without a fault to find with her? Monstrous. I glanced at him with surprise. His cordial agreement with all I said cut the ground from under my feet. It made my position complicated, not to say ludicrous. I was prepared to be persuasive, touching and hortatory, admonitory and expostulating, if need be vituperative, even indignant and sarcastic. But what the devil does a mentor do when the sinner makes no bones about confessing his sin? I had no experience, since my own practice has always been to deny everything. What then? Asked Strickland. I tried to curl my lip. Well, if you acknowledge that, there doesn't seem much more to be said. I don't think there is. I felt that I was not carrying out my embassy with any great skill. I was distinctly nettled. Hang it all, one can't leave a woman without a bob. Why not? How's she going to live? I've supported her for 17 years. Why shouldn't she support herself for a change? She can't. Let her try. Of course, there were many things I might have answered to this. I might have spoken of the economic position of woman, of the contract, tacit and overt, which a man accepts by his marriage, and of much else. But I felt that there was only one point which really signified. Don't you care for her any more? Not a bit, he replied. The matter was immensely serious for all the parties concerned, but there was in the manner of his answers such a cheerful effrontery that I had to bite my lips in order not to laugh. I reminded myself that his behaviour was abominable. I worked myself up into a state of moral indignation.